This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Probably the only one involved in Twilight who can walk the street and not have to worry.
Well, are you implying that I'm a streetwalker?
No.
I'm
implying that starting the interview.
Thanks. I got a couple comments about you too. That's cool. It's pretty crazy for all the actors. But I've got a couple imitators on the internet too. Have you seen my reenactors? They reenact me directing.
Really? Is this like a YouTube phenomenon?
If you go in there, have you seen all the crazy? They act out all of our trailers and everything. Yeah. It's pretty crazy, and they act out behind the scenes.
How good did they do at capturing you?
Oh, mine! One of them is excellent doing me. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about this movie is very chaste. And I'm not that familiar with the book, but I understand there's a little bit more touching and kissing and that kind of stuff in the book than there is in the film.
Accurate? Does anybody else know the book? I don't think that's accurate, though. In fact, we went
a little more kissing.
Well, there are 500 pages in the book, and then when you say chaste, or you could see it another way, sexual tension. That's how I think it's a little more interesting. Because they are just always trying to walk that razor's edge. If you get too passionate, mm-hmm. then he will kill you. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of that, there was the it was reported on the internet that the author maybe had you pull back on the kissing scene.
Yeah, she thought that the way we filmed the kissing scene was a little too steamy. So, because I had a wide shot in the cut, and so I ended up going with the B camera and using more intimate shots, which actually I think it still stayed pretty steamy, but it's just a little more intimate. So,
at what point in the process did you realize this was going to be quite as huge as it got, especially on the internet with the following?
A year and 9 months ago, or a year and 10 months ago, is when I started on the project. And at that time, there was still a really passionate following on the internet. And, people loved it, and they were making their own trailers and posters. So I knew people loved it. I don't think it was nearly as big. I mean, there's only two books out. And then it's just kind of grown and grown and grown. But people already were crazy about it.
How much did that blow up of the phenomenon impact you? Because that was happening while you're doing this. I mean, did that... Did the pressure start to mount?
Any person that's a director or a filmmaker or a musician, we have our own pressure that we put on ourselves to try to make ourselves feel good about our project and make it as excellent as we can. So that was already more than what anyone external could put on me, my own standards. And so I was and also as director, you're really working hard. I mean, you... really are have a billion tasks. Up until 10 days ago, I was still working on the movie really hard, 24/7. So I'm trying to just make the best product I could within my limitations and not worry about the other, just make it as good as I could.
Can you talk about some of the other reshoots? Entertainment Weekly said that the reveal in the sunlight was reshot or redone, in addition to the kiss.
It wasn't redone, actually. Okay. No, that's not true. I don't think they exactly said that, since I have read those Entertainment Weeklys. But with the meadow scene, mm-hmm. we never got to film in a meadow when we were up in Oregon, or anything that even looked like a meadow. Mm-hmm. And for me, I kept saying to the studio, I said, this is where Stephanie's dream came from, the idea of a meadow. So I really want to shoot one scene in a meadow, please. And we did get to do that in the news, and it was a new scene. And it wasn't a reshoot, but we did a new little part of the meadow where you see them lying down and you see the flowers everything. So that was one of the new scenes.
Was it because of the budget in the first place that you didn't get to do it, or just because the...
It was budget and logistics, because we had only 44 days to shoot the film, and that's pretty ambitious for a film like this. I mean, if you think of a $37 million budget versus a Harry Potter $150 million budget, you could appreciate a little of what I was dealing with logistically. And then we had to be, we had to be based in Portland every day, so it could only be an hour drive from Portland. And we scoured everything and just tried to find what could be a meadow, and nothing really worked. The best thing we found was buried under 8 feet of snow. So it was oh no. So finally, we actually made a meadow in Griffith Park here. We brought the grass and we brought the rocks and the moss on the trees.
I was talking to Peter before, and he said what drew him to this project was your passion for the material and the fact that you were just so tied to it. What drew you to the material to begin with?
Well, when I read the book, you know, I just, okay, you could look at the book critically and not like it, or you could just let yourself go when you read the book. And so I just like let myself go and like just get into like these almost like obsessive, specific, detailed passages of just falling in love. Like I started, you know, you can get almost like hypnotic, like intoxicated, and remembering what it was like, or hopefully maybe it's still like that for all of us, where you're just madly in love with somebody and you're just obsessed. And I thought that'd be so cool to just create that world of obsession on screen, you know. That was one thing I really liked about it. And the dangerous obsession, too.
The sparkling in the sun, how difficult was that? How many tests did you do for that?
That was difficult because, you know, you look at, like, all the history of film, and you look at, like, how did Arnold Schwarzenegger look in Mr. Freeze in the Batman movie, you know, scary, like, little, like, sparkly makeup, and you look at the Silver Surfer, or you look at everybody that's tried to do something like that, and it's kind of, like, terrifying. So we had a lot of people, and then I started looking at, like, crystals and things in nature and, like, iridescence and things, and trying to figure out how to make it look good. We had 10 companies, VFX companies, trying things out. Most of them, no, disaster, because there's an inherent contradiction in the book. She says he's covered with, like, encrusted with diamonds, okay, and diamonds are faceted, and that's what makes them sparkle. And when you did something like that, it looked like a really bad case of acne, right? And then it also says in the book that he's smooth as marble. So they're, like, trying to resolve this, like, ah! But ILM came up with a more interesting test, and then I went up there many times, three different times, and sitting there with the artists, let's try more of this, let's do this, let's work on this. So it was a very long process, very long.
What was your experience like going from movies that were pretty much rooted in a reality and actual happenings, things like that, to this one with this whole fantastic side of it? Was that something you'd been looking for? Was it a challenge you decided to rise to? How did you deal with that transition?
You know, my background, I'm an architect and an artist and an animator, so really when I went to UCLA Film School, I was in the animation department. All of that was out of this world and more in the imagination, so that's what I've always... My first job was with Tim Burton, making little sculptures and things. So I've always wanted to do that. Also, I worked a lot in visual effects when I first moved here to support myself going to UCLA. So I've loved that world, but haven't had that much opportunity. However, in my last movie, I had more VFX shots than this one, actually. So, yeah.
I'm curious. I know you just wrapped recently, and I'm sure you're not even maybe thinking about it, but what can fans look forward to on the DVD/Blu-ray?
Actually, we have been working on the DVD already. So we put together all the deleted scenes and extended scenes, and there's quite a few, maybe like 12 or something like that. And then I made some montages of some other like crazy elements, like more like vampire kiss biting and more human hijinks. And I've made like a pretty wild music video, like remix of the Bell's Lullaby, and I've made some pretty trippy things that you might like.
Speaking of deleted scenes, since I'm sure fans want to know, approximately what's like the length of stuff that was cut out of the film, and is it any of that special effects stuff, or is it dialogue scenes? Could you talk a little bit about what you...
Yeah, I could. For example, the diner, you know, where the first day after school, where you go see Bella with Charlie and talking about, you know, their awkward meeting and stuff, that scene was about twice as long when we shot it. And so it kind of slowed down the pace. I mean, it was still cool, but it just kind of kept going. So we put the whole thing on the DVD. There are times when, like, Esme and Dr. Cullen make a comment on, you know, how Bella's brought Edward to life. It kind of was in the middle of the treetop sequence, and you kind of just wanted to stay with Edward and Bella, you know. So, but you'll see that, and there's a little bit more like sexiness with, you know, the bad vampires, and a little kissing, fighting, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I can ask, are you a fan of, as a director, and for this film, are you a fan of making a DVD that is like the extended? Is there going to be an extended cut, or is there going to be a separate section for deleted scenes?
Separate section for deleted scenes, because I feel like what we have in the movie is probably the right, you know, stuff. I wouldn't really want to grow it any fatter than it is. I don't think so.
Okay. When it came to the casting of the actors and this fan base, this super passionate fan base, you had to expect that there was going to be some sort of backlash no matter who you cast.
Yeah.
So how did you shepherd your actors through that fragile ego period of like, everyone on the internet hates me, but you know, they haven't seen you as the character yet?
Yeah, well, I had, you know, spoken to other people, you know, that have been involved with, you know, Spider-Man, you know, like Thomas Hayden Church, when he was cast in the Spidey 3 or whatever, you know, he told me, like, people just freaked out, how can that fat dude be, you know, blah, 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 and so he said, look, you just gotta go for it, and then once they see what you do, they're gonna be excited. So I was telling everybody these stories, and then I was like, just don't read, you know, don't watch anything, don't read the stuff. And Rob goes, but my mom sends it to me. He's revolting, you know. I'm like, thanks, Mom. But he said that it actually made him want to work harder and, like, do better because people were so negative. I mean, maybe he'll tell you the same thing. I don't know.
Can you talk about what made you trust your gut about the leads? You know, what made you say, yes, I know that this is going to be the one?
Oh, okay. Well, I had looked at everybody else, even the people that the fans suggested. You know, we try to contact them. Are they the right age still? Are they interested? Are they available? Met with them. You know, do they seem good in person, or do they just look good in a photo? You know, Abercrombie and Fitch model, whatever. So, but we tried to check out everybody that the fans suggested. And those suggestions weren't really valid, actually, anymore. I mean, they might have been originally or whatever. Brad Pitt's a bit too old, but he doesn't fit in high school. No, but I think, you know, I felt confident that I'd looked at everybody they had seen and that they had thought of, but then I looked at zillions of other people too, and so I knew what the choices were out there. And after I saw Rob and Kristen together, you know, I didn't even just say yes right there in the room. I had to look at my video, step back a day or two later, edit it, and like have a little bit of distance. How does this feel on the screen, not just in the room? And I felt really good about it.
Was it specifically at all? Did Stephanie have any word to say?
I think she knew. I think one of our executives was letting her know the people that I was talking to, but she, I think, pretty much trusted, you know, my judgment or whatever, yeah. Because she wasn't there in the room or anything.
Yeah.
What specifically did you see when you reflected on Kristen and Rob that sold you on them?
Well, the way I really wanted Kristen, I mean, I loved her in Into the Wild, and I, you know, just that image of her sitting on that bed in the trailer, that yearning is so palpable, and just her emotions were so strong, and she could convey that. I thought that was great. So I was pretty much sold on Kristen even before I went to Pittsburgh and did a day working with her. I felt like she's going to be really great. And then it was finding the chemistry. So then who works with her? And when Rob and Kristen worked together, you know, you could feel it in the room. It was kind of scary, kind of cool, you know.
Would you be interested in doing the sequel?
Well, you know, we know the second book. Have you read the second book?
Yeah.
You know, it's probably going to cost at least twice as much as the first one. We've got the werewolf effects. We go to Italy. You know, we have stunts off cliffs. So this one has to make really quite a lot of money to make that one affordable. So I'm not going out and buying a new Prius yet. I'm just take my time. Let's see, you know, let's see how it does. We'll find out soon.
But you would want to do it if...
Well, you know, let's see. You know? I mean, I don't know. I don't want to, like, be, like, counting my, you know. I just, like, you know, just, we only got a couple weeks, so we'll see what happens.
I think it's really interesting, though, I mean, though a departure maybe from the effects with this particular project, you have a penchant for teen stories with 13 and even the Nativity story.
Yeah, in case you have a 16, yeah.
What kind of what makes you gravitate towards that particular kind of story?
Well, I do think it's a time when the most exciting stuff happens. Suddenly you get boobs. Suddenly you want to kiss a boy or a girl. You know, suddenly you could drive a car or drink or, you know, talk back to your parents. Or, like, suddenly all these things are possible, and you also have to start figuring out who am I as a person and what am I doing and what's my style and am I cool or not cool or am I a nerd or, you know, whatever. It's all happening to you. And so that makes it, like, high drama usually, and it's like something like that time of transformation. In a way, we all still are probably going through that, as every day we need to reinvent ourselves. So, you know, I think it's a great, exciting time. You
know, what do you think is the secret of Rob Pattinson's sex appeal, not as Edward but as Rob?
Well, you know, like, he is a very fascinating person. Have you guys met him yet?
No.
You know, he has read a very eclectic, strange, you know, group of novels and stories and books, and the music he loves, the films he seeks out. You know, he's quite a unique person. And he has the gift, you know, where he can just sit down and start playing the guitar or playing the piano, and something comes out of him that hasn't come out of anybody else in the world. And he's just really unique. And I think you'll kind of probably feel it if he's still alive by the time he gets here. You know, he's special.
The Entertainment Weekly story made it sound like he was obsessing almost too much about the role. Is any of that true? Or?
Yeah, sometimes probably true, because you know he would. I think it quotes me saying that sometimes, and this is true. I'd have to say, Rob, let's just say that. Let's just go through the whole scene once. You know, when we rehearse, don't stop in the first sentence or in the first word. And you know, sometimes you have to just try something and see if it works instead of second guessing yourself. So that was one thing I tried to do, like, you know, give him confidence to just, let's try it and look at the big picture. Is it working?